About 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we started a three-part series on Hebrews 4. You guys remember? Okay. So, about 2 weeks ago, we started a series on Hebrews. Hebrews 4. And the first week, we started with the phrase, let us come with diligence. And let us diligently work out our relationship with God. And we were all challenged to keep growing in our relationship with God diligently, so that you and I would indeed enter into God's special rest. Remember that? And then we were encouraged to encourage each other using the Word of God to remain faithful to our relationship with God and not forget about God when things go well like the Israelites did. Remember that? Then last week, Nigel helped us understand what it means to hold firmly to the faith that we profess. And he explained to us what the high priest is all about and why we call Jesus the great high priest and what Jesus is doing for us right now. And that's quite crucial for you to understand those two things in order to grasp today's application. But in case you missed the last 2 weeks, I'll briefly touch on them a bit later on. But today our theme, as we heard, is let us come boldly to God's throne of grace. Let us come boldly to God's throne of grace. I'm also going to use the word confidence quite often in the sermon, so those two words are interchangeable. So today we're going to look at why we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, how we do it, what we would get when we do it, and when is it appropriate. So hi, why, how, what, and when. All right, so let's open up those Bible apps or Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read together just from verse 14 and onwards. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just that far. Now, before we unpack these three verses, I want you to remember the context of Hebrews again. The whole book was written to Jews, men and women, who had just given their hearts to Jesus. They have just moved from salvation by works to salvation by faith alone in Christ. And they were facing some serious persecution to go back to salvation by works, to go back to the feasts and the festivals and the rules, to go back to a ticking box kind of faith, where we just do all the right things in order to get into heaven. And by some means, they might be good enough to make the cut. Remember that? That's the context of the entire letter to the Hebrews. And so let's unpack that today. The first question I think we need to ask ourselves is, do we often wonder, just like these Jews, about our former life? If you've kind of given your heart to the Lord later on in your life, you might think about this quite often, where you used to just be a good person. You lived by good morals and good standards, and you thought, hey, if I'm just good, if I don't break any crimes or don't go to jail or that kind of thing, if I'm just a good mom or dad, surely I should make it into heaven. I'm a good person, right? Is there anybody out there? Hey, that's how we get into heaven. We're just good people, right? Nigel, we've got to try this again. We're going to come back next week, and we're going to go with, and we're going to ask John to just preach the whole series again. You and I get into heaven by good works, right? There we go. Hey? But often we're tempted. Hey, often we're tempted to start thinking that way again, where it's all about works. Where maybe this morning, maybe, just maybe, you came to church, you had a bath and a shower and had your breakfast, and you drove to church with that mindset. Where surely if I just go to church every week for the rest of my life, I will go to church enough times to get into heaven. Surely if I'm just good enough, I can get into heaven. Surely. That was the same temptation these Jews were facing because they lived like that for so many years. And now all of a sudden, it's salvation by faith alone in Christ. Now all of a sudden, Jesus is the reason why we can get into heaven. We can never be good enough. We can never do good enough if we measure our lives to God's standards. The word says we'll all fall short of God's glory. We have all sinned. Yet, because of Christ, we have been justified freely. And we've got to hold on to that. We've got to hold on to that because, friends, if we fall into that trap of, I'm just going to work my way into heaven, we've got to remember that these Jews, that was their lifestyle. Hey, they would work and try and be as good as they possibly can. They would tick all the boxes. And then once a year, they would come to the high priest and say, hey, so 612 boxes are ticked this year. But number 613, that was tough, eh? I dropped the ball. So please, can you go grab a goat and lay that one sin on the goat for me? And then offer a sacrifice to the Lord and send that goat his merry way because there goes my sin. And then please, a high priest, I hope you're a good guy this year, because now you're going to take my sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. And if you missed one of those laws, you're going to drop dead in there, and then there goes my sacrifice. There goes a free goat for somebody else. Hey? And there goes my forgiveness. There goes my prayer request. Dead. And Nigel explained this so nicely last week, that Jesus took that sin upon himself. Not a goat, not an animal. He took it upon himself. He took upon the penalty for our sin upon himself and died on our behalf. And the moment he died, that veil, that barrier was torn in half. And you and I, no longer, if we believe in Jesus, it's a work of redemption. If we have a relationship with Christ, if we live salvation by faith, you and I no longer need to do anything to get into heaven. Jesus has done it all. You and I no longer have to ask a high priest to get past the veil. The veil is torn. You and I can now approach God one-on-one, saying, Lord, I have missed 613 of your laws this year, or today. Please forgive me. And because of Jesus, God says, I am faithful and just. I will forgive you. I will declare you not guilty. Because your sin, 613 of them, have been nailed to the cross of Calvary. And as long as you have a relationship with my son, Jesus Christ, you can talk to me. You won't drop dead. You can talk to me eternally. As long as you and I are diligent with our relationship with Christ. It's all because of Jesus. He tore that veil. He's taken the penalty of our sin. Therefore, he is the great high priest. Therefore, his priesthood is greater than any other priesthood that will ever be. And you and I should be so excited about that. That as long as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you and I can enter into God's presence every day, every moment. And we can come to his throne of grace boldly and with confidence. Do we know what that looks like? Do you know what it looks like to approach God's throne? What are some of the means that you and I do that? As long as we have a relationship with Christ, what are some of the things we do to approach God? We pray. We pray. We read our Bible. Come on, Ben, one more. Hey? He didn't read my notes. Yes, we pray. We read our Bible. What did we come and do here today? We worshiped. Hey? Those are some of the ways that you and I can approach God in prayer. And we can do that with confidence. We can come and worship with confidence and literally lift this roof, trusting that God will catch it. Come on, that was a joke. Hey? But we can do it with confidence because not of our own accord, not of our own strength, or anything that we would ever do, because of Jesus, we can come to God with confidence. And if you don't know what this looks like, you've got to watch this movie. Man Alive, when my mother-in-law gave it to me, I was like, War Room, oh, whatever, like another Christian movie. So many out there. And then one day, Gina had nothing to do, and we put this in. And I should have watched this ages ago. Because this lady completely models, if you've watched this movie, you know what's going to happen on the screen right now, okay? This lady completely models what it means to have an active relationship with God and then come to his throne with confidence. Watch the screen. That's confidence, eh? as true as confidence as you can get. Pure. She has just led somebody else to faith. And go watch this movie. She creates this little war room, she calls it, a closet, where she goes and prays for people daily with that kind of confidence, where she prays for us with that kind of confidence. And so often, I see people kind of walking towards God, like with their heads tucked away, very meagerly going, oh Lord, please help with this. Come with God, to God with some boldness, some guts. When life throws all it can at you, come with God with a bit of confidence. Because it's not in you, it's in Jesus and His name and His power that we are able to ask God for something. And we need to sometimes just come to Jesus and say, hey Jesus, I need your help. You've got to go and chat to Dad a bit more often. Because I need help to get out of this mess that I am in right now. And I need your help. I can't do this on my own. You and I have to realize it's all because of Jesus that we can approach God's throne. But then I also want to caution us, dear friends, that there's a trend at the moment that a lot of people come to God with arrogance, flippantly telling God exactly what He needs to do and how He needs to do it. And they forget who they're talking to. Oh friends, let's come with confidence but with reverence, eh? Where we revere God for who He is, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all things, a holy God, and He will not be mocked. He will not be treated like a kid. He will be respected and honored and revered. So when we come with confidence, know that we're coming with confidence because of Jesus and what He has done. But we must do it respectfully and with a bit of reverence. Quite a bit. Then, dear friends, our text says this morning, when we approach God's throne with confidence, we will receive mercy and find grace. We will receive mercy and find grace. What does that mean? When we measure our lives up to God's standards, we notice how far we have fallen. And we notice that our sins deserve eternal punishment. When we look at our good works and measure it up to Jesus and the standards that He lived by, we soon realize we are wretched sinners, all destined for hell, but because of Christ, because of what He has done, we are not. We are declared not guilty, set free. And therefore, when we approach God's throne with confidence because of who Jesus is and what He has done, you and I will receive mercy. Because mercy is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you and I deserve. Our actions deserve eternal punishment. But the merciful thing is we don't get it. But rather we find grace. Getting something we don't deserve. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve eternal life with God. But because of what Jesus has done, we receive grace. And so when we come to the Lord with confidence, remember we come because of Jesus and all that He has done. We then receive mercy, not what we deserve. And we get grace, what we don't deserve. And then we could ask the question, well, when? When can we come to God? Friends, whenever you need Him. And we need God all the time, hey? There's no moment in life where we can say, ah, God, just chill over there. I'm just going to go and do life over here by myself. The Israelites did it for 40 years. It didn't work. Let's learn from their mistakes and not go and chill in our own wilderness for 40 years going, hey, God, you're up on the mountain or you're in the tent and we'll just do our own thing. God never designed it that way. Remember the first week, God longs to spend every single moment of every day with you now into eternity. So friends, because of Jesus, enter into that relationship and do it diligently. Do it with some confidence and boldness in your time of need. And so let's describe some of these moments of need just briefly. Maybe for you today, you really long for God to help you and help your spouse to love you unconditionally once again. You really long for that. That is your need right now. Well, then today, come to the Lord with confidence and boldness because of Jesus and ask Him, please, Lord, help. Please help my husband or my wife to love me unconditionally again. And you will receive the mercy that you need and the grace that you don't deserve for your moment of need. God might not flick the switch, but He might flick that switch, and all of a sudden you feel loved unconditionally again. And that's fantastic. Maybe you're like, hey, my husband's great, my wife's great, it's all good. Maybe you're at varsity or at school stressing about those exams. Come to the Lord with some confidence. Say, hey, God, you know that I've studied hard, hey? Where's Ross? Hey? You know I've studied hard. Lord, help me get that A++, hey? Or just help me pass. Help me do as well as you have equipped me to do, hey? That'd be fantastic. Or you find yourself in a job situation where things are really tough right now. And in our current economy and our state of affairs in the country, we often find ourselves overwhelmed, don't we? How about we come to the Lord, just like that lady did on screen, with boldness and confidence, going, Lord, we need a better president than what we have right now. Lord, we need a great economy again. We need our country back. Help us, Lord. And we can only do that because of Jesus. We cannot dare approach God with confidence without Jesus right next to us. So whatever your need is today, hold on to Jesus and your relationship with Him at all cost. Don't go back to salvation by works. Where you think, hey, or you approach God and say, hey, God, I've been good this week. Can I have that promotion? God's like, you've lost the plot. Go back to Jesus and chat to Him for a little while. And maybe the two of you can come together and we can talk about your promotion. Or the same with school, varsity, life in general. It's all about our relationship with Jesus. And I'm going to reiterate that again. Diligently work at your relationship with Jesus. It's the only thing you can do. He does the rest. Diligently spend time with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need your help. I want to approach God. I want to go through that veil, that torn veil, and connect with God directly right now. I need your help. Please come with me every step of the way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. So stick with me and I'll make you famous. I'll make God famous in you and through you to His glory. And then we can hold on to those words. Jesus says, if you allow my words to abide in you, then you can ask whatever you want in my name and it will be done for you. Ask for whatever you want in the name of Jesus and it will be done for you. Friends, we can only do that out of an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because out of that intimacy, we won't just ask for a red Ferrari. Hey? Because out of an intimate relationship with Jesus, we would ask for something more than that. And I didn't mean a Lamborghini either. We would ask Him for something meaningful in this world. To see an end to poverty. To see an end to people living like this every day with no shoes, having to substitute who goes to school today. Maybe ask the Lord for that. To end crime in our country. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Where we don't need all the burglar bars and alarm systems and cameras and. Where we can just walk to the shop and walk back in fear of nothing. Friends, our relationship with Christ is the most important relationship you will ever have. He allows us to approach God boldly, and let's start doing that from this day onwards. Understanding that we've got to do it diligently and passionately. Got to make sure that Jesus is all that we have. We've got to understand that He's not like the high priest or the pastors that also make mistakes. Not at all. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he will guide you all the way to the feet of the Father. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word once again. But today we want to thank you especially for Jesus. And that he has come down to earth. He has stepped down into our darkness. He has come to live this life. And live it so well that he didn't make a single mistake. And then he did the boldest thing ever. He took our failures, our sin, our shame upon himself. And he took on the penalty for our sins. And he set us free eternally. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us. Help us to grow in our relationship with Jesus every single day, knowing that he is the only reason why we could even approach your throne. Through prayer, through reading of your scripture, or just sitting in your presence, worshiping your name. Help us, Father, we pray, that we would grow in our relationship with God to such an extent that we indeed have the same amount of confidence we saw today on the screen. We're out of relationship with you, Jesus. We can approach God with some boldness and ask for some bold things in this world, like the end of poverty, the end of crime, the end of slavery in our modern sense. Oh Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.